was in the jungle. I came in, someone said, "You were in the jungle last night meditating." I thought, "Yeah, I was, I guess." Or we were supposed to be reflecting, right? Reflecting, not deflecting. Amen. On the past year. How many of you were here for that? Okay, good. December 29th? Yeah. It's a long time ago. You guys were all probably like on vacation, right? For the new year? No? Last year? All right. Well, let's pray and we'll get started and get into God's word. Yeah? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to hear from your word today. Father, we ask that you would speak to us, give us ears to hear, anoint us to receive instruction, and show us things that maybe we've known before, but that we needed to hear again, or that we need to better apply in different areas in our life. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we had good worship, right? Yeah, you guys have a new building? When did you move in? November 20-ish. That's a good date. We don't know, but November-ish. Awesome. Awesome. I'm excited. It's good for you guys. It's a good fit. It's a good feel. Feels like home. Yeah? Anybody else feel like that? Hopefully, yes. Okay, good. If not, big mistake, but anyways. The mortgage has already been signed, so live with it, as my mother used to tell me. Tough, right? I said, "Mom, I don't like doing my chores." And my mom's response was, "Tough. You have to do it anyways." But no, God is good. It's good to sing the worship that we sang today, the songs we sang, that we do go deeper with him, that his mercy and his grace is so incredibly large that it's hard for our natural human minds to fathom what he has given us. But I want us to spend just a little bit of time thinking about our life. We're going to continue with the reflection that we did last month, thinking about what happened last year, the good, the bad, the ugly. That's okay. It doesn't matter. It happened, right? And it happened in your life, and God's concerned with your life. Or is God only around when there's good things? No, he's with us through the difficult times too. So it's okay to say, yeah, there were some things last year that I wish didn't happen, or I wish I did better at. But now in the new year, where are we going? And how are we going to get there? And so I have a little bit of a beef with Christians. Is that still an expression? Having beef with someone? Okay. Sorry, I live in Asia. We don't have much beef. I really like beef. But I have a little bit of an issue. How about that? With Christians. And yes, I'm a Christian. You're like, that's good. What we do sometimes, now maybe this isn't true for you, but I know that I do this, because of God's amazing, miraculous love and his grace, and we read about Jesus in the New Testament, we read about miracles, it's almost like we get born again, and then we expect, which is a good thing, the supernatural. Anybody like that? A third of you, great. The rest are still warming up. But we pray for miracles. Awesome. God still works miracles, right? But I found in my life, and I see this in other believers' lives, sometimes there's a big gap between we've got this new beginning, we've got this new life, we have a blank canvas that we get to create whatever God wants us to create, whatever he's created us to create, right? Because we all have a calling, we all have a purpose, we all have something that God wants us to do on this earth. My mom and dad, part of their calling was to raise an amazing son. Too bad Andy's not here today, but I'm here. But I want to read, which was read earlier on, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. It says that the man of God, and it can be man, woman, right? Man means human being. The human of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How many of you have that as your goal spiritually? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. to be mature, right? To not be tossed by every circumstance, to not have faith that wavers. How many of you want to have strong faith? How many of you want to be able to do amazing, great things for God and have and have be equipped to do every good work? We all have this vision in our head of a version, of a future version of our life. I don't think any of us have a future version of us growing old and feeble, right? And having been in Thailand for 20 plus years, you know I'm not 20 anymore. But man, you get old. Things change. There are creaks and popping that you didn't know existed when you get out of bed in the morning. But in our spiritual journey, we have this vision of where we're going. And the Bible supports that vision, that we would be equipped to do every good work, that we would be complete. But what happens a lot of times is we have that picture of ourselves there, and we're supposed to live at that level. And we see the apostles and the disciples and Jesus living at that level. But there seems to be a gap, or there can be a gap, between this new beginning, blank canvas, freedom to create and be who God's created us to be, and reaching that or attaining to that level. And it's a challenge because we want to live at that level. It's God's desire for us to live at that level. Our faith is to live at that level, but our reality isn't always there. And so what I find happens is we can get so lost in the religious practices. We can get lost in the promises. We can get lost in this high and lofty ideal place that we want to be at, that we lose sight of where we're at, number one. And number two, how do we actually take steps to get there? I have a question for you. How do you run a marathon? You don't. Wow. I actually feel a strong anointing from that answer. I get a witness. Anybody, can I get a witness? Anybody? Half marathon. This is only running if someone's chasing. Even then, no big deal. When we wake up in the morning, our Christian life, the expectancy is that we're going to just be able to run a marathon. We're going to be full of faith and power, and there's never going to be anything that ruins our day. There's never going to be any time of doubting and wavering. And that's what we're striving for. If we went outside today, right now, which would be bad because it's cold, let's imagine it's not cold. Let's say we went outside and it's not cold, and we decided we wanted to run a marathon. How many would fail? All of us. A few wouldn't fail. A few wouldn't. Tell me when you're done.
How long is a marathon?
26 miles? 26? Okay. This service is starting to feel like a marathon, man. Good Lord. No. But you understand my point, right? Most of us would fail. And what if the next day you got up and said, I'm going to run a marathon again? And then every day you said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to run a marathon because that's what I envision and what I want to be at that level. Most of us do that with our Christian life. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. I want to be like the early apostles, the disciples. I want to be someone who's complete. And I've been coming to church for 20 years, so obviously I am. Which isn't always true. Thanks for the honest laughter and answers. How do you run a marathon? One step at a time. How else do you make a marathon easier to run? You train, right? You do weight training. You stretch. You eat right. You sleep right. You do all these things. And guess what? Running longer becomes easier. And so I feel like Christians, I feel like we're caught in between of here's where we want to be, but we're still in training. And we don't like that. And we think, well, I want to be up here, and surely I am, because I prayed once and my prayer was answered. And I don't want to say that we're not, that we haven't grown, but I think sometimes what we do is we forget the fundamentals of training. I remember when I was in junior high, got to play on the basketball team. You know, elementary school is just like gym, but, you know, PE in elementary school. In junior high, you actually had a basketball team. And I remember the coach teaching us the fundamentals. We would lay on the floor and shoot the ball in the air just to work on the spinning of the ball. We would make passes with medicine balls so that in the games we would make quick passes. We would practice dribbling. We would do all these fundamentals so that when we got to the game, we knew how to play. And sometimes in our Christian life, the fundamentals can be lost in our busyness, can be lost in our unawareness of what we're actually doing. And so this is what I find happens. We forget, and then we don't achieve, and then we come back to church and we get fired up with faith again, but we don't ever go back to practicing the fundamentals. I remember in Little League one time, this guy right here, Roger Scott, my dad, my best friend, Travis Egli. You guys don't know Travis? I don't know why I told you his first and last name. But Travis, he couldn't hit the last three games. He couldn't hit. We're going into the tournament. And he was frustrated. He couldn't hit for anything. And we went. Do you remember? Oh, okay, good. Say yes whether you do or not, Dad. And we started with a you know, the T-ball, and then we moved a little bit further and just kept hitting and hitting and hitting, went back to the fundamentals, and then in the championship game, he did really well. And some of us as Christians, we need to review a little bit of the fundamentals. I have a friend. Actually, let's read a scripture. Matthew chapter 7. We are in church. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27 says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," this is Jesus talking, "whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Verse 26, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat at the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Have you ever had a time when it feels like the storms and the rain is beating on your house and it's crumbling? That's okay. Because you see, the beautiful thing about the gospel, the beautiful thing about the New Testament and the way that we live in the New Testament, is that God gives us the strength to endure the storm. And we have to take that and we have to mix it with wisdom. Jesus says, "Whoever hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise builder." Are you a wise builder? Paul says in Corinthians, like a wise master builder, he laid a foundation for the new believers. Are we wise builders and building our life to be something that's going to give glory to God? Or are we just waking up every morning saying, "I'm going to run a marathon"? Are we waking up every morning thinking, without having practiced, without having trained, "I'm going to play basketball well, I'm going to play baseball well, or I'm going to do whatever it is in my life well without having the training"? How do we close this gap? There's a pastor friend of mine in Thailand. His name is Pastor Kit, K-I-T, Kit, but it's more like a G, Kit. We don't have that letter in the English alphabet, so it's a G-K combination, which I'm sure you're all very interested to know that. Pastor Kit, every time I would go meet with him, he had a house church of 16 people, and every time I go meet with him, he'd talk about how God is amazing. Can't argue with that, right? He'd talk about how they're believing God. Can't argue with that. It's not a bad thing. And he'd say how they're believing God, that one of their church members is going to just all of a sudden have money, And God's just going to bless them, and they're going to give $250,000 to the church to be able to buy land and to build this amazing church to give glory to God. Anything in there sound unscriptural? No, all sounds great. The only problem is that they were a house church paying $125 a month in rent with 16 people. And their vision was so far away, there were no steps between them. So I called Pastor Kit one day, and I said, hey, I'm going to come. You need to get ready. We're going to go drive around. He said, what are we going to do? I said, just get ready. It doesn't matter. We're going to drive around. I know what we're going to do. Just trust me. So we drove around the whole community that I lived in. I said, we're going to look for a building for you to rent. He said, I've looked already. There's nothing out there. I said, we're going to look again. He said, well, whatever there is, it's too expensive. You see, sometimes in our Christian faith, we have such great faith for $250,000, but we don't have an extra $50 faith for an increase in rent. So to make a long story short, we spent 3 days driving around. We finally found a place, and he was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. It's only $30 more a month. I wish we'd have been here 3 years ago. I said, yes, I wish you would have been here 3 years ago too. So here are three fundamentals that we can do to help close that gap, because it is God's will for us to live at that highest level. It is God's best and his desire, and for the church to live at that highest level, because when we live at that highest level, it's like our light is brighter, right? Our influence goes further. Your guys' influence is going to go to Cambodia, right? Pastor Jenny, right? Everyone knows you're going to Cambodia? Okay. All right. We're going to put her to work in Cambodia. All of us are going to work, team of five. But when we're living at that higher level, our reach goes further. Our love is greater. Our faith is greater. Our impact is greater. Number one. Reading the Word of God. Do you know how easy it is to forget to read the Word? Do you know how easy it is to read the Word without reading it? That's my downfall. I can read it, and then 10 minutes later, it's like I read Galatians, and I knew it's already in there, and so I don't, you know, there was nothing special because I read it 100 times. That's not reading the Word. Reading the Word is allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to enlighten us and to give us revelation of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we already read verse 17, but verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If when you read the Bible, it's extremely dry and boring, you need to ask God to help you, because that's not reading the Word in the way that we're talking about reading the Word. It's living and it's powerful. It can create faith in our hearts instantly. It can bring peace and joy that passes all understanding. And if it's not doing that for us, then we have to ask ourselves why. Is it that our hearts aren't receptive? Is it that we're not engaged? Is it that we're bored? Anybody ever been bored reading the Bible? Or do you wake up and think, yes, the book of Numbers, love it. Second thing that we need to do is pray. And we're gonna mix a little bit of 2 Timothy 3, the Word and prayer. How many of you want God to speak to you? How many of you want the Holy Spirit to give you revelation? How many of you want the Holy Spirit to work with the Word of God to give you revelation? Yes, that's how it works. Amen. How many of you want the Holy Spirit to give you revelation about the areas that you need reproof and correction in? Sure. The one who's not running says, sure. We like it when we get revelation or the Holy Spirit gives us insight about somebody else's problems. Which I'd question whether that's the Holy Spirit or it's not just our own selfish spirit. But most of the time, the speaking that the Holy Spirit does to us, the prayer, the communicating with God, communication is more than one way. Are you stopping while you're praying and listening? Are you giving space to hear? And are you willing and okay and actually receptive to the reproof and the correction and the things that you need? Because that's where the Holy Spirit's going to reveal things first. He's not going to give you amazing revelations about the Word of God if you haven't accepted His leading that brings you closer to Him and to His character. We don't like that one because it's a little bit uncomfortable. Because we've gone to church our whole life, so we must be good Christians. There must not be any areas for correction. Do you know how easy it is to need correction? Anybody? We've made it this thing that if you need correction, it must be some horrible thing. No, it could be like just tweaking things a little bit. Correction isn't like, you know, exactly. You know, it's not getting beat up. It's not getting whipped. It's not getting, you know, berated and degraded. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. But it's showing us areas that we can make adjustments. And that's the foundation. That's the foundation of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, but a lot of us are closed off to that. And then we wonder why the Holy Spirit doesn't speak. Amen, Bob, that's really good. Thank you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We all know that verse. How many of you need more peace? Okay, honestly, when was the last time you really, really prayed? Oh, on Sunday, sure. Jeez. I mean, the one that's not even running left because you... She's running now. Just kidding. I'm only kidding. Only kidding. Ephesians 6:18, Paul says, "Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." A lot of times we find ourselves thinking and worrying about something, and we think that that's prayer, but it's not. There was something that was with one of my sons I was kind of worried about. And it was probably like 3 or 4 weeks. And then I was like, well, actually, I haven't prayed about it. Maybe I should pray about it. And it made a difference. And he changed like the next day. It was like amazing. I can imagine that. So many things we think about, we talk about, we share with the church, but we forget to go to the Lord. And not just pray a formula, not just pray, God, give me something, but Lord, let's talk. Let's commune. And it's not always that God doesn't answer our prayers because there's something wrong with us, but there is things that we can adjust and tweak, right? Because sometimes if we're not walking in the fullness of Scripture, that's not His fault. I like to compare it like this. In Thailand, we get rainy season. And when you're walking to the sky train, which is like the subway in the sky, a sky train, a train in the sky, to go somewhere, there's covered walkways. When you're under the walkway, when it's raining, you don't get wet. How many of you think that's a good thing? Now, if I walk outside of that covering, can I be upset with the sky train station that I'm wet? Can I be upset with God who told me to go underneath the covering? Can I be upset with the person who directed me that I'm wet? No, but many Christians do that in our walk with the Lord. Again, I don't want us to get to the place where we're like, I need correction. But sometimes faith is so easy to get over into works And it's a slight adjustment to get back into faith. Are we humble enough to be open to the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth? To remind us of things that we've been planting into our heart for all these years that we've been believers. The third thing is worship. And I always think about worship as singing our songs up front, and we're magnifying God and we're worshiping God. But this past week, I've been reminded that worship actually can be done through obedience and surrender. How much do you surrender to God? I mean, we say we do, right? But then deep down, it's like, yeah, but I really want it to be my way. God, can't you answer my prayer my way? Huh? Exactly. We know better. And it's more comfortable to think of how he can solve our problem the way we want him to solve our problem, which is control. We're in control. Jesus, listen, if that's you, don't be discouraged, because Jesus also went through something similar. When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, I don't want to do your will. Anybody ever think like that? Anybody have to forgive somebody? You don't want to forgive them. You're like, Lord, if there's any other way, instead of forgiveness, how about a left hook? Like, can anybody ever think like that? The non-runner thinks like that. I'm just kidding. And Jesus said what? He said, nevertheless, according to your will, I'll submit to that. You see, we have a lot of freedom in the new covenant, a lot of grace, mercy. Doesn't mean that there isn't a system or a way that we are to walk with him. It's at the end of, I think it's Luke or John, after Jesus gives the great commission to go out and to make disciples of all nations, and the disciples go out, it says that they went out and they preached the word, and God confirmed the word by signs and miracles. How many of you want miracles to happen in your life? Well, those miracles didn't happen until they got up and went and did something in obedience to his word. Interesting fact, 39 of the 40 miracles that happened in the book of Acts happened outside of the church. 95% of what we are believing for miraculously in our life, we're expecting to happen inside the church. Just food for thought. God works miracles in the church, but he also works miracles in your kitchen when you're with your friends praying. I'm not saying it has to be out there evangelizing, but we're supposed to be doing more than just Sunday morning. Worship in its truest form is surrender. And we worship him. The worship is most powerful when we do it when it's the most difficult to do. It's easy to worship on Sunday morning. Paul and Silas in prison in Acts chapter 16. It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. How are we serving? How are we submitting to God in worship? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, what's it say? It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto him. That means not my will, but your will be done. In a non-religious way, if we can manage that. So I'll leave you with this last story, last parable. No, it's not a parable. It's a miracle that Jesus did when Jesus fed the 5,000. We all know that story, right? Here's an area where we as Christians sometimes can stumble. Because we have such an amazing God, we think everything is going to be amazing. But when we're consistent with the fundamentals, when we're consistent with daily seeking Him, daily submitting to Him, daily surrendering our will to Him, it has tremendous results. But it's the consistency that makes it powerful. What we also stumble at is we think the thing that we have is, what's the right word? Is insignificant, small. It's not going to make a difference. In feeding the 5,000, Jesus said to the apostles, he said, you feed them. And what did they do? They went and collected everything that they could find. They said, I have to look here for my numbers. Five loaves and two fish. I always get that confused. They found five loaves and two fish. And they came to Jesus and they're like, hey, like this is all we got. Do you pray like that? We should. Lord, I prayed 5 minutes today. That's all I got. But I give it to you. Lord, I forgave that person 12.789% today. That is all I got. And what's he do? Doesn't matter how big it is. Doesn't matter. See, we're not the miracle makers he is. Or miracle workers or whatever. I would say that. He is. Well, God, you know, I want to help in church, but, you know, I can help with kids, but I'm not very talented at it. All I could do is basically babysit. Yeah, we need your name, right? Well, I could come paint, but I'm not very good at it. I don't have very much to offer. Here's the amazing thing about God. He takes our weaknesses and turns them into strength. He takes our little bit that we have, and he multiplies it. Why? So that he gets the glory. The challenging part is that when they brought the loaves and the fish to Jesus, what did Jesus do? He did two things. He blessed it. Praise the Lord. And then he broke the bread. Most of us have worked so hard for the very little that we have, we're not okay with him breaking what we gave him. But in order for it to be multiplied, it must have been broken. Some things need to be broken off of our life. Are we willing to give that to Jesus and allow him to break that from us? Are we willing to say, I don't have much, but what I have I'll give to you? Sounds like some apostles in the book of Acts. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give unto you. Rise up and walk. The man was healed. Stand up with me. Can you stand up with me? I mean, there's freedom, but, you know. Oh. Hold on. Peter and James, would you stand up with me, sir? Can I get an amen, brother? I want us to think of the things in your life. No, two things. The things in your life that you think are insignificant, that you feel like God wants you to give or donate or serve, but you don't because you think it's insignificant. Two, think of one thing. You can think of either one of these things. One thing that you can fundamentally change this week in your spiritual life that gets you ready to be equipped for every good work. Because God's doing something here. Amen. As we all collectively give our tiny, tiny, little, insignificant, whatever it is that we have, he will multiply it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing time to look at your word, to look into our hearts, to be able to reflect and examine what's inside of us in different areas that maybe we need to change. Lord, we pray that your anointing would continue, not just on Sunday, but on Monday through Saturday in our lives. That you would continue to show us the things that you want us to do on a daily basis. that we would have the submission and the humility to give it to you and allow you to do whatever your plan is in that situation. God, we love you. We ask that you go with us this week. Protect us, lead us, and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank
you. Good work. All right. We are going to sing before we go. If you would like prayer or just to talk to somebody today, we have prayer friends that are going to go that direction, so it's not so loud and obnoxious.